Welcome to another episode of the Leaders in Education podcast, the official podcast for the Charlevoix-Emmett Intermediate School District, featuring voices in education. Today, I'm pleased to be talking with Debbie McFallone, consultant, speaker, leadership coach, and author. Debbie leverages her experience as a teacher, principal, and superintendent to inspire and equip today's leaders and empower their teams. Debbie, thank you for having this conversation with me today.
Thank you so much for the opportunity, Michael.
So to start, I wonder if you could tell our listeners a little bit about your background, why you went into the field of education, and what drove you to help inspire and empower leaders.
Sure. So I bet, like many people, I went into education because of family people that I admired. My older sister I was very close to, and she was 6 years older than I, but was a teacher. And I really found myself wanting to follow her footsteps and enjoy what she was, a life like she was enjoying.
Sure.
I had the opportunity to work with a couple of very exemplary leaders during my tenure. And that's what really led me and inspired me to begin thinking about my own journey as a school leader.
That is great. That's what I've heard that similar scenario play out with several of the folks that I've come across, just how other people inspire us to go in a direction.
Yeah.
So from your experience, what are the most common challenges that leaders face today?
Well, I'm sure you read and hear all about them, but from my view, working with numbers of principals and superintendents and leadership teams, we look at isolation, the need for support, managing the tension between caring for their own well-being and caring for the adults in their organization, adapting to change, and being unafraid to make changes, having the courage to look at things differently because our students are different in these days.
So true.
Mm-hmm.
So what are the most important qualities or skills that you believe leaders need to possess, and how do you help them develop those traits?
Yeah. David Brooks, the New York Times columnist, talks about resume virtues, which are our technical skills, and our eulogy or legacy virtues, which are our character, of course. And my work with leaders focuses on courage and integrity, resting on a foundation of trustworthiness. And I use the phrase often, who we are is how we lead. The Gallup research tells us that the primary need of our followers is that they want us to be trustworthy.
Sure.
And we need to be those credible leaders. So through readings and holding conversations and demonstrating and modeling protocols and using strategies with teams, I want to help people build the skills to sustain strong leadership over the long term instead of just being depleted or burned out. You know, the goal is sustained strong leadership over time.
Right. Well, I really appreciate the perspective and the eulogy versus resume skills. It really hits home.
Isn't that a lovely phrase? I know.
So can you share an example of a successful leadership transformation that you've facilitated through coaching?
Sure. So in addition to working with superintendents and their leadership teams, part of my practice has always been to have a number of private clients for leadership coaching. And the person who first comes to mind is a young superintendent. She's now in her third year of being superintendent. She was a principal in her district, and very suddenly, during a difficult challenge, the superintendent was released by the board. And so this woman who had developed relationships with board members, she was a known member of the community, was asked to become the superintendent at that time. And I have been coaching her through that process and coaching her since. She really began by this idea of developing trusting relationships, starting through count on me as your superintendent, I will count on you as my board. And having those agreements really surfaced and really communicated strongly. Then individual weekly calls to superintendents, a weekly bulletin to them all, and just forging this communication where she really understands completely what their concerns are and what support they feel is needed in the district. She has become such a strong leader, and I will tell you, she's also just in her first year now of doing her work on her own doctorate, and I have told her I will be in that audience clapping when she crosses that stage.
Well,
so rewarding.
And, you know, we know, as you've sort of surfaced here, every leader and every team is different. How do you tailor your coaching to meet their specific needs or goals?
I never start cold. I always, whether I'm working with an individual or a group, ask for and seek information about what is their unique lived experience and what connections might I find to support them. And really, to go to the source, to simply ask, well, how can I support you? You know, if this were going to be a successful series of leadership sessions for your teams, what might that look like? What would you like your team to gain? Or in our coaching relationship, what are two or three things that you feel would be very helpful for us to process together? So I think, you know, the voice of the partner in the room helps you design exactly the work to be done that will be most relevant and most hopeful for them.
It's very thoughtful. All right, just incidentally, are you coaching in just Michigan, or do you have clients that you work with outside?
I have really made a deliberate choice to focus on Michigan.
Well, you've also written a couple books, Uncommon Leadership and Live Well, Lead Strong. What is it that inspired you to author each of those?
Well, my first book was Uncommon Leadership, and it really contains eight of the pieces of content that I teach most often and that, in my experience, I have found to be most relevant and helpful for people. So we think about, again, what are your values? What are your guiding principles? And we think about how do successful leaders navigate transition successfully? What do we need to know about our people during that time?
Right.
How do successful leaders offer skillful feedback? And how do we plan and hold difficult conversations? So I really wrote the book as a way of disseminating wider knowledge, the lessons that I teach most often with the groups I work with each year.
Okay. So who do you read? What's your go-to expert or author
to
keep your own sauce?
I love to read, and I have lots of people. So you won't be surprised. The main idea, of course, the book summaries that come to educators are just key to me. Mm-hmm. The Marshall Memo, the same thing. I love the weekly memo. Doug Fisher and Nancy Fry's work I find really practical and relevant. I love the Gallup work on strengths-based leadership and keeping your people engaged. I'm a reader and a implementer of the Harvard Business Review information and of their types of publications. I love Daniel Pink and his understanding about people. Elena Aguilar, whose Art of Coaching and Coaching for Equity is part of my work. I love, in terms of building my own growth, I've loved reading Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Ibram X. Kendi, Isabel Wilkerson, Brené Brown, Heather Cox Richardson.
Wow.
And so I love to read. So, and I think that is part of a commitment is who I need to be with my people too.
Yeah.
I need to be well informed. So,
Well, I suspect that some of those folks may read you as well. So you're in good company.
That's very kind.
I would like to ask you about Opportunity Thrive. It's a nonprofit organization that you serve as board president for. What is that, and how'd you get involved?
I would hope that anyone who listens to this would go to the website opportunitythrive.org. and examine this further. It is the work of my heart, Mike.
Really?
Opportunity Thrive was formed 7 years ago by a former teacher, our founder and executive director, Rebecca Skipper. And we have a very unique focus. We are the only nonprofit in the state of Michigan whose sole focus is the well-being of the adults in our schools. And we foster that through tiered programs for resilience teams, for doing school culture surveys, and our Lighthouse program, which is our educator well-being coaching program. And so we believe that healthy, balanced adults serve our students best, and we have an array of programs to help us do that. We also, if you would permit me, I would like to share that on October 10th in the fall, we are hosting a celebration of our organization. And that afternoon, Elena Aguilar, the well-known author, will present a four-hour session on coaching for equity at Kent ISD. And that evening from 5 to 8, she will do a keynote as part of our celebration. And that is for 500 people at the Grand Rapids Public Museum. It's going to be so lovely. It's October 10th. Okay. And again, you can get information at opportunitythrive.org. We would love to have you contact us about that.
Okay. Yeah, I can't think
me go on long about that, but I said it is the work of my heart. So.
Yeah. Well, when you talk about well-being, I cannot think of a better or a more ideal time to be diving into that work. And so.
Exactly.
Thank you.
And I would just add, Michael, if I could, we have from the very beginning partnered with Hope College to gather statistics and to have data drive our work. So we don't just, you know, do things because we think they're right or in our heart we know they're right. We collected meticulous data over 7 years now about the impact of our programs. So I share that also.
Well, and that's a great segue to my next question. So whether it's Opportunity Thrive or whether it's your own coaching and work you do with school leaders, how do you measure success?
Right. And again, in Opportunity Thrive, we share data that shows, you know, 100% of the dozens of people who received our coaching last year improved in their own self-report for their own well-being, for example. So we have that kind of data. For me, lots of ways in terms of feedback. For example, when I teach Leadership Matters, the year-long course that I teach for principals through MEMSPA, every weekend, there is a feedback form that people submit to offer ideas and feedback. You know, what is lovely surprises are the affirmative feedback that you get in an email. I actually had two people in the last couple of weeks email me saying, Debbie, you're one of the first people I wanted to share. I'm retiring and you've meant so much to me during my career. I want you to know. You know, those are just lovely little things you print off and put in your file.
Or on your refrigerator.
I would also say that I gather data about my personal clients. Each year I serve around between 10 and a dozen school districts and their leadership teams. And one school district, for example, I have served for 12 years. They continue to have me come back and serve again in their leadership team. So that's just data about the good work that we have done together. So,
Well, I am humbled to be talking with you. So,
thank you. Goodness.
So if you were going to give advice to school administrators, what would be three things that you'd share if you had to pick three?
Sure. One is to be very intentional about nurturing and cultivating your personal board of directors. Who are the people who are your Sacagawea, your guiding stars, you know, your cheerleaders, your people who will, your Jiminy Crickets who will tell you what is right, right? Who are the people on your board of directors? And to intentionally keep in touch with them, seek their feedback, and let them know when their support of you is needed. So number one is that. Don't be isolated. The second is to model trustworthiness, compassion, stability, and hopefulness. Those are the four top issues that Gallup names that our followers need from us. Trustworthiness, compassion, stability, and hopefulness. And all of those are under our control. We just have to choose to model those. Mm-hmm. And last, remember, leaders, what it is like to be in classrooms with students. There's a saying in the military, the best generals remember what it's like to be a private. And I think our best leaders remember what it is like to be very close to students. And we want to keep that perspective.
Sounds to me like you have another book inside you. Ready to come
out. I'm writing one right now.
Can I ask what the title is going to be or what it's going to be?
Sure. Like? This one is called, right now, my working title is Meeting the Moment, A Call for Courage.
Okay. Well, I look forward to seeing it hit the shelves.
Thanks.
So I've been talking with Debbie McFallone about leadership and coaching in ways she is inspiring and empowering others. Debbie, is there anything else you'd like to add?
Anyone who is interested, of course, if you feel I might be helpful, you are more than welcome to go to livewellleadstrong.com. Okay. And you're certainly welcome to contact me through that website if there's some way that I could support you or help you further.
Great. Well, Debbie, thank you for having this conversation. I'm in awe of your experience and your expertise helping leaders. I'm grateful and humbled to be able to share this time together, and I'm looking forward to future conversations.
You've been very gracious. Thank you so much for the opportunity, Michael.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to the Leaders in Education podcast. Please check out our archive for past episodes. And remember, the great thing about learning is that you never have to stop.